Thank you so much for agreeing to do this.
Oh, my pleasure. Always happy to do things for folks in the field. My heart's with the missionary population and want to help them as best I can.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know that you have really, especially recently, you've really spoken a lot and written a lot about homeschooling high schoolers. And we know that there are families on the field who are actually homeschooling older, either middle school or high school kids for the first time. How would you suggest that we help them frame their expectations about jumping into homeschooling at that point?
I think the best way for consultants to maybe support homeschooling or families who want to try homeschooling at the high school level for the first time is to really lay some groundwork, do some pre-planning, and set expectations. I mean, that you just have to acknowledge that it's daunting to start at the high school level, or even if you have been homeschooling, to continue at the homeschool level. I think the first thing that we have to ask families to think about is, well, what's the end goal here? Mm-hmm. Are kids going to be coming back to the U.S. To go to college?
Mm-hmm.
If so, then that has to inform some of the key decisions you make at the high school level. Do they have to come back right away when they're 17 or 18? I think if they are coming back to the States for college, then, you know, there just has to be some preparation done, say, in English and math. I think you have to really decide what are your priorities at the high school level in terms of subject.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't do it all. Like, if our kids were in a conventional public school, they would have stronger teachers and weaker teachers. So it's uneven. If your kids are in homeschooling, there's going to be strengths and weaknesses to every homeschool program. So, again, setting expectations like, okay, what is God providing?
Mm-hmm.
And resting in the sufficiency of God's provision and kind of de-stressing
mm-hmm.
over, like, I have to do this all well.
Absolutely. And I think you've really hit on something important that we see in families often, which is that we see, especially the homeschooling parent, usually the mom, putting an inordinate amount of pressure on herself, simply because maybe she's not a trained educator or something like that, and really expecting herself to do it all and do it all well. And so I think those are some especially great words that we can pass along to the families we serve.
Yeah, I mean, I like to tell people that God was homeschooling me and that there was a lot. When God called me to our family to homeschool, I didn't recognize that there was something of his purposes in it for me. And mm-hmm. it was dealing with that. A pressure that women put on themselves. I have to do this all. I'm not adequate. And my kids are going to, you know, be handicapped for the rest of their lives by my choices. I mean, we need to have an appropriate level of responsibility, but really God loves putting us in those kinds of situations that must be far similar to how you felt when you first came on the mission field, right? I mean,
right.
I don't think, does anybody go on the mission field feeling like they're well-trained and well-equipped and ready to handle anything that comes their way? I doubt that.
Right. Or at least that's not the healthiest expectation to enter with, for sure.
Yeah, it's a walk of faith, just like everything else. It's a
absolutely.
Walk of faith.
Absolutely.
You say you are really an advocate in two different directions.
Mm-hmm.
You're advocating to the board on behalf of the families, mm-hmm. and you're advocating within the family or the team mm-hmm. to help those who choose or feel mm-hmm. called. I think who feel called to homeschool. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
So I just know with our AIM families, it's usually every year there's kind of an email about, okay, here's what we need to do differently this year. Here's what we're mm-hmm. going to do with this child, which is very typical in homeschooling in general. There's always tweaking because you can. That's what's great about homeschooling mm-hmm. is the flexibility.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as you know, families who are homeschooling on the field often have a slightly different ethos because sometimes they are homeschooling because of a lack of options.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean they're any less called or equipped to do that. But I think we might on the field see a little bit more insecurity in some of our homeschooling parents. And so a lot of, I think our role as consultants is to be a cheerleader and an advocate, as you said, for the families, and to really just try to instill in them the confidence that that they will be equipped and God will give them what they need to do this.
Yes. And yes, to see the bigger picture, because even with my own children, I mean, we had abundant resources, but they certainly felt disadvantaged or limited at times. I said, hey, this is just part of God's call for your life. I mean, that's, and he's going to meet you in it. It's good to feel lack. It's good to feel limited or at a disadvantage, because you'll be so much more able to recognize and acknowledge God's handiwork.
Absolutely.
And when it all comes easy and it's plentiful, we forget our need for the Lord, or we forget that he's the provider of all of that.
That's great. Absolutely. Well, let me ask you a question that I'm sure you have answered no less than 1 million times, but we continue to have to deal with on the field, and that is the idea of homeschooling multiple kids who are all at different stages, and especially for those families that are doing that in some amount of isolation on the field, so not cooperatively homeschooling, not really able to be connected with other homeschoolers, at least on a day-to-day basis. Just off the cuff, what is your top advice about that particular issue for families?
But I think even if you have multiple children at multiple ages, unless they're really far apart, kids who are within 2 years of each other can do a lot together. And older children teaching younger children is very effective and beneficial for both. So you can figure out, like, how do you leverage what the assets that you do have and stretch those.
Absolutely. I know you've worked with and counseled with families who are on the field. When you are dealing with, let's say, a mom who is really stretched very thin because she's homeschooling multiple children, what is it that she usually needs to tweak or let go of? Is it a matter of some expectations that she has, or is it usually some concrete tips and strategies that we just need to pass along to her?
I guess one of the things where I would have a question, Melissa, and I'm not on the field, so this is just as an outside observer. I hear moms having a lot of tension between their mission and their call to homeschool. And I don't know how to balance that, because in my frame, I would think the call to homeschool their children or to see their children's education would trump the mission. But I don't want to presume to say that that's God's view or that's the view the family would embrace, but that's what I see moms or who struggling with.
Okay. No, that makes a lot of sense. I think that's a very relevant issue for sure. I think as missions are becoming a little more open to and inclusive of the work of women on the field, whether married or single, the possible downside to that is that when everybody has a job description and everybody's expected to contribute to the ministry, sometimes some moms of multiple children, moms who are homeschooling, do get stretched too thin, feel stretched too thin. And it can be a real situation for sure.
So again, I think that's where your advocacy goes both ways. Let me tell you one of the benefits I see too, because there's an upside. I've honestly been impressed with the mission kids I've met through Share. They seem more mature to me. I think the fact that they are removed from the teen culture, youth culture, and the expectations that kids in the West might have, I think it's really healthy. And so I would say, I think the best scenario is you don't have the mission and homeschooling competing with one another, but it's integrated. So if you can come up with a job description for the mom that incorporates her children into it so that they're doing some kind of service. Mm-hmm. Whatever mm-hmm. she's doing, if it's writing Sunday school curricula or it's helping at a pregnancy resource center, women and children, that the kids can get that, that's a part of it, that the kids are in that. So it's not like it's something she does independent of them. I think my own children, we were very involved in volunteering all through our homeschooling. And I think it's one of the things that, God engendered in our four adult children. And I'm grateful for that.
Absolutely.
They see service as part of their job description as adult Christians. So sure. I think there's a solution. It just, in my mind, seems like there's got to be a Godward solution where they're not competing with each other.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to be honest, I'm thinking of there are cases much like what you're mentioning in which the children can get more involved in the ministry and the work on the field. There are also cases in which, and I think every one of us is wired differently, mom needs to have a little bit of ministry that she goes and does apart from the family. And I think sometimes that can be beneficial as well. So I think the thing that's sticking out to me here is just that we just need to recognize that God's wired us all differently for sure. And to be gracious with one another.
Yeah. I think you can help by asking some good questions, help women in particular clarify God's priorities, like not what's somebody else's expectations,
right?
What are not your expectation, but really what's God's view of this situation? So can I ask you some good questions that help you figure that out? Mm-hmm. But I think it's very important for the kids that they feel like they're a part of the team.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's okay. Very beneficial for them. And I see that happening. I mean, honestly, I was envious. Mm-hmm. So I don't want parents on the mission field, families on the mission field, to feel that they're at a disadvantage or they're lacking what a good homeschool context would be. I want them to see, hey, God has given us an opportunity here and there's assets here we can leverage. What are they? It's going to look different than it would if we were back home in the States. But mm-hmm. So what's here? What are the opportunities here that God's going to use to build into our children? So just, think mm-hmm. beyond the academics. Like Absolutely. Kids can get it. Like I was so shocked that my kids went away to college and learn stuff that I didn't teach them. I mean, I homeschooled as if they would never learn another thing. And was shocked when they did. And it's like, I thought time was up. And that's not true. You can always, if you really just never did science very well, it doesn't mean that they're at a disadvantage that they'll never recover from.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think big picture, that's what all of us as consultants need to keep at the forefront of our consulting with homeschooling families, is that homeschooling on the field is a rich and wonderful God-given opportunity. And we need to do our best to frame it that way as we plan and look forward, as opposed to we're homeschooling at an extreme disadvantage here, wherever
yes.
it is that we are in the world.
Yeah.
I think that's great. Well, not to by any way go negative, but we thought an interesting question to ask you would be, what do you observe homeschooling parents, whether on the field or not, trying to do or using that just really never works?
I do see on the field in particular, I just see parents choosing curricula that's just not going to fit. It's mm-hmm. not going to work. There's a lot of wonderful curricula that's very labor intensive. I don't really mm-hmm. think that homeschooling on the mission field is usually conducive to some of these labor intensive materials. And so mm-hmm. I think often the best solution is what's the easiest. And there's no shame in that, Melissa.
That's great.
You know what I mean? Like if there's yes. just a simple, adequate solution,
mm-hmm.
go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get sucked into the bells and whistles. I think you know, especially if how you select your curriculum is you come back to the States and you go to one of these big conventions and you buy it there. It's just, I think purchasing, making your decisions out of the context mm-hmm. of where you're going to actually have to use it
yes.
is probably going to cloud your judgment. And so it's mm-hmm. probably, you know, best to give yourself some space between your exposure to all of the choices. I mean, it's a billion-dollar industry.
Absolutely, right.
Now, and so I think homeschool parents in general, no matter where they're homeschooling, they really have to be savvy consumers
mm-hmm.
Because there's so much profit to be had. You know, I myself make mm-hmm. my living by mm-hmm. creating curricula sure. for homeschoolers. So I just right. feel like families have to do their due diligence and make wise buying decisions. Mm-hmm. And so don't be too complicated. I think that's the thing. You got five kids. What is the simplest way to homeschool five kids? I mean, I just see parents mm-hmm. trying to, what's the best thing for every child in every subject? I just don't think you can start with that as a goal.
Absolutely not. And really, that's a good word that you use, start there. When we're starting to homeschool, I think especially critically at that time, choosing what is simplest, what we think is achievable and doable is absolutely the best way to go. And then, if it turns out that God's called that family to homeschool long term and we're years and years down the road and we want to start layering some creativity or a little bit of complexity, then you have some ground under your feet at that point.
Yes. And mm-hmm. you know what I also want parents to not ignore is that they should loop their kids in. Like, I think you should not have this mindset of I am homeschooling my children. Mm-hmm. I think the mindset should be we as a family are homeschooling mm-hmm. and kids can take more ownership. I mean, one of my big themes is raising an independent learner.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think homeschool parents make it more difficult than it needs to be by taking on too much of the responsibility and not allowing the kids to have any responsibility and therefore no ownership. So let kids choose. Let them decide what they're going to use for English. Let them be responsible. And I just think books, reading is a very noble way of mm-hmm. gaining an education.
Absolutely. And I think the other, just to dovetail the last few things we've talked about, the beauty of helping parents make decisions that are simple and not complicated and easy for them, while at the same time emphasizing there's a whole aspect when you look big picture at education that your third culture kid is receiving on the field that is a golden opportunity that so we don't need to go for the homeschooling curriculum that's going to do everything, because look at this education that we're getting by living cross-culturally, learning second languages, third languages, et cetera.
Amen. Amen. Melissa, that is it. That is the advantage that mm-hmm. these kids have. Mm-hmm. They are having a different, they don't need to have the same.
Mm-hmm.
They're having a different experience. And God loves our diversity. He made us unique. We have unique calls. And so this experience is critical to that child's future. So don't ignore that. Leverage that.
Right. Absolutely. And again, that work of encouragement that I think consultants are called to comes into play here. Just encouraging, reframing, helping adjust expectations.
Praying with the family too. It's like, what is God saying? Let's just ask him. Mm-hmm. He's got a solution. I mean, God just really needs to be seen as the author and the finisher of our children's faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes their education. And they walk away with a testimony of his faithfulness. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. you know, I grew up in a very remote, isolated place mm-hmm. in a closed country. And God met me and met my parents. I saw God meet my needs over and over again. So we don't want to, we just really want to have this wide berth for God to show up in a miraculous way and demonstrate his faithfulness to our kids.